the amateur radio station, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. This net is for questions and answers on any subject related to amateur radio or the allied arts, as it were. We have a technical hobby, and it's a fun thing to do. You need not be a member of the club in order to participate. In fact, we encourage you to participate whether or not you're a member, as long as you're a licensed amateur with privileges in the 2-meter band. Before we get rocking and rolling here, I'd like to see if there are any stations with emergency or priority traffic. Please call K2BAR. Okie doke. Let's try this again. Stations beginning with November. November calls. Please call K2BAR. One for you, actually. Alrighty. Any other stations, please call K2BAR. November stations, please.
Yeah, that's 2KHM. No question at this point.
Good evening, James. NS2K, very good. Any other stations, please call K2BAR.
NJ1W, Dave, no question.
W2AKR, repeater.
K2BAR. Any other stations with November, please call K2BAR.
NJ1W, Dave, no question.
NJ1W, we got you, Dave, no problem. Any other stations with November? Like you to come to Kid Night. I can't make it, but other guys make it in droves, and I'll bet you that you can go away with a J-pole that'll give you a better signal than what you're using right now.
I have the makings of the J-pole sitting right on my desk right now, so I'm going to do it. I just haven't got around to it. I move slowly.
Well, you probably have heard some scraping sounds on a couple of my transmissions, and I was trimming a replacement tip for a tri-band antenna. I have a diamond tri-band antenna that had lost its tip. So I found a suitable width, cut it to 19 and a half or so inches. I had to snap the discordant and snapped it, had to clean it up a little bit so it would fit into the sleeve properly. And now I have a new antenna I can use. I'm going to use this one portable for various things. But anyway, that's what I've been working on. It's a CR627 Bravo that I bought. It unfortunately has a SS239 or PL259 type of base, but it's good for portable antennas when you need something quick. So that's why I have it. Okay. I think at this point we would like to shoot it over to Tony. I believe he has some information that is of interest to the membership. K2AMI, K2BAR.
Some of the sites you can enter the zip code that you're in, and it'll tell you how far away you can, or rather, how many repeaters in an area, and you can put down 20 miles or 50 miles or 100 miles. So go to Google and type in amateur radio repeaters and search the different sites that are there. The second thing is I'm hooked up with the weather guys there. George Savvy is our KP2G LG is our local Northern New Jersey area. He's the representative, and he's been getting weather notes that this weekend, coming probably on Sunday night, there'll be a significant rainfall, possibly as much as an inch of liquid precipitation is referred to. Some of it will start as early as late Saturday night and all day Sunday, and it should end Sunday morning. But it could contain freezing rain, so again, that would depend upon your altitude and your location. But you might just be aware that there is a significant cold rain storm coming this way, and be aware of it. If you go to a weather site, you'll find exactly what I'm talking to you about, but I get an update once a day from George Savvy, who's our WeatherNet guy. Okay, back to net control.
Good evening.
let's see what that message looks like at this point. There's, let's see. Actually, for some reason, it didn't come through yet. I don't know why, but I'm wondering if you sent it to my work email or maybe you sent it to my personal email. I just didn't get there yet. Who knows? Something's popping in. Well, anyway. Very good. Well, when we see that message, we'll take a look at it. My question is a little different than most, I would think. I now have Fios TV and Internet, and I'm really happy with it, in case you're wondering. I ran the fiber directly to the ham shack, from the pole to the ham shack, on the third floor of my house. And right on the wall, right where it comes in, is all the equipment, and that equipment consists of a network interface, a battery backup system, and a router. And across the room, I have a set-top box for a television that currently is not here, but that's funny. But I do have that as well. And a couple of things I did notice. The front panel of the set-top box has a USB port, and I was wondering if anyone has any experience with that USB port, using it for whatever function. It's a Motorola set-top box. In my case, it's a DVR. I'm wondering if anyone has any experience with it. Also, has anyone had any experience with the router, the set-top box, or the network interface, getting into them and looking at statistics and things like that? I'm just curious if people have done that already. Lord knows the router is fairly straightforward to do, but I'm wondering if the other two boxes people have hacked into as well. Those are my questions. So, let's see. I'll just throw it in the air and see who responds. K2BAR. Go ahead, Daniel. Video. I mean, wouldn't that be just way cool? So, you know, something to think about. In any case, that got me going. Any other thoughts before we move on to something more interesting to others? K2BAR. Come up with a question? Peter, you're not making a repeater.
I apologize. I have the 10 with 3 430 S.
You're not going to transmit on both radios at the same time. Anyway, I wasn't sure if I should actually do it that way or not. I wanted to get a second power supply just as a backup just in case one power supply went on the blank. However, if I get the 746 Pro, it comes with a PS125 ICOM power supply, so that would probably solve my problem. Okay, a couple of things. Yes, it would solve your problem. In the best of all possible worlds, I would do the following things, given your anticipated process. I would go buy a new 746 Pro, or a really recent new one, number one. Number two, I'd get yourself a power cable for the other radio, so that you don't have to switch them back and forth between the existing power supply. Number three, I would get yourself a rig runner, a big 12-port rig runner, and put Anderson power poles on everything. If you don't want your PS125, and that's not as uncommon a thought as you might think, you could always just see if you can work a deal with the dealer not to get the PS125 with it, and ask them for a deal. And pick up, let's say, an Elinco 30-amp power supply or something of that nature. That way you'll have something lighter and compact that you can take with you, that you can use to power things other than just the radio. Because the PS125 will basically only power just the radio. Although, there are people who've tapped into that. They got a female in the male connector, tapped into it, run it out to a rig runner, and that way made some of that card available to other devices, you know, low power appliances, if you will. So that's something to think about as well, Peter. I mean, there's a myriad of solutions. I kept one of my PS125s, but you know, I'm not overly crazy about it. I keep it in reserve, oddly enough. That's just my preference. Any other stations want to make comments about this matter of rig and power supply and distribution, etc., please call KQBAR.
NJ1W.
I heard two stations. Let's try NJ1W first. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, were you aware that the PS125 is free with the 746 now?
Yep, absolutely. It's also available with the, it comes with the Pro 3 the same way.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I was looking into it. I'm thinking of ordering one. That's going to be my Christmas present for my wife this year. So that's the radio I had my eye on, too. I've been checking the specs out on most of them and, for the price. And I think they are going to discontinue it. So I think if you want to get a new one now, it's now's the time to do it.
You're talking about a 46 Pro?
Yes, 746 Pro.
Yeah, the real question is what's ICOM going to put into that market slot. The 718 is too light, the 7000 is too mobile, and the 770 is too pricey. So they're going to need to put something in that $1,500 price point, you know, the sub-2000, you know, the $1,000 to $2,000 price point. They need to stick a radio in there, and I'd be very curious as to what that's going to be. I can assure you I will not be the first one to buy whatever that is. I'm very happy with my Pro 3. I did have a second 46 Pro, and, you know, frankly, just real estate, just there was no place on the desk to put it and had room for anything else. So that's a point as well. But I think a 746 Pro is just an outstanding radio, just flat out. I mean, I just think it's just wonderful. Any other stations? I think there was another station with a comment. Please call K2BAR.
My comment is, I think what you're talking about is something like a 706 Mark 23.
A 706 Mark 23. Okay, all right, very good. All right, anything else from anybody regarding this matter? This is a good question. Peter, K2BAR. Here's back to you, KCQIMW3 K2BAR. Power supply and stuff. I guess people buy higher amperage power supplies to run more devices simultaneously, correct? All right. some, but Alinco, God bless them, has a patent on being able to, if you will, move the frequency of the oscillator in the power supply. So it is a switching supply. So, you know, in addition to that big 25 amp piece of iron that you have, you know, it might be nice to have something in the way of a portable power supply that you can carry that, you know, weighs 5 pounds as opposed to, you know, 25 pounds or 30 pounds.
And the adjustments on that, does that allow you to basically dial in the amount of voltage and such? I'm not really familiar with the port meter-based power supplies. I can look at the power supply I've got here, and there's, you know, sort of a black box that operates, which is on and off, et cetera, on the fan, you know, when it's looking for jammering and such. But what's the advantage of the Alinco besides what the things you just mentioned?
Current meter and voltmeter on the front panel. You basically just flip the switch. You can either use a preset voltage or you can have a variable voltage. The switch on the back to turn off the variable nature. And you can have it just be whatever you've set it to and it'll leave it alone with a preset in the back. It's got a cigarette lighter plugged on the front, and it's got two sets of crimp clips for 5 amps max on the front. So you can stick something on if you're just testing something really quick. You just shove some wires in the front, you're done. So, I mean, you know, it's a nice little power supply. Pardon me. My cold is finally breaking up, guys. Sorry about that. And, you know, it was just very flexible. The other thing I need to emphasize, West Mountain Radio Rig Runner, these are wonderful devices. And, you know, having 30-amp and 45-amp connectors, which are interchangeable, by the way, are just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It's so nice when you can plug all your gear into stuff and it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't give you any grief about it. And so I've power pulled my entire universe here. And I'm very happy that I did.
Martin?
Yes, sir?
That was my question, WA2CAI checking in. I wanted to ask the group at large, you especially, now that you brought the subject up, have you or anyone else had any problems with Anderson power poles? I use the 30-amp contacts in the 15 and 30-amp housings. Are those honestly 30-amp connectors? Do they deliver what they claim?
Yeah, actually the same housing will run up to 45 amps. Absolutely. The real difference, Tom, is the back of the connector. The contacts are the same. But the back of the connector is just fatter, and it's harder to put small wires in the 45-amp connector, although I've managed to do it. With a little care, you can do it. You have to kind of basically fold up enough wires so that there's something to grab onto. But I'm a very big fan of power poles.
W2AKR repeater.
Because I switched it to power poles, believe it or not. Instead of those cheap mobile adapters, connectors. And I have my car wired for it right now, but I have it limited to 10 amps because of the wiring and other silly things. But that move, in other words, power poles are the end all and be all.
I think so. I think the only issue I've seen, and there's a means to deal with it, is that, you know, they can vibrate apart under extreme, or get pulled out. And so you have to dress your wires carefully. And there are, means to secure it properly so that they can't pop out. There's also inline cable clamps so that you basically can put a mated pair together and put a little overclamp to get so that it works. Some of us don't care, and we just simply, you know, if it's a cable-to-cable connection, we just use a wire tie and you're done. So, I mean, there's many ways to skin the cat, but I'm very, very pleased with power poles. Anybody else have any comments about power poles, please call K2BAR.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have one of these, West Mountain power strip, a brand new one that has side resistance. Now, on the phone, what kind of tool do you use to trip that connector?
That's a good question. How does one affix the clamp, the crimp? There's two ways. One is using a really, you know, good pair of pliers and just crimp it down carefully, edge by edge. I know guys who do that just as, you know, easily as pie. And then there's the rest of us who, you know, they make at least two, if not three, grades of crimp connector and a crimp. Crimper, and I basically bought the best one, and I'm really glad I did because it's ratcheting. When it releases, it means your connections tighten up, and that's that. I have one of those tools, and I'm really glad that I did because I have literally hundreds of power poles. I mean, and I say hundreds, I mean hundreds on various things. I have one, two, I think I either have six or seven power pole strips. There's one mounted in my truck. There's two mounted in my station permanently. There's one in the FM side station that's just sitting on the desk. There's one in my portable box. And I want to say there's one more kicking. Oh, yeah, there's one in my orange box. So, you know, there's a bunch of them floating around between 8 and 12 poles. I haven't used the smaller ones. And, The 12-pole ones are nice because you can strap them to give you a visual and an audible alarm if your voltage is either low or high. I prefer to use it high. I can honestly say I saved myself a major grief in my car on a trip from home from Florida when my alternator went. My voltage went to 18 volts and started, and you know, the sun alert on the rig runner alerted me to the problem. And so immediately I turned on every electrical appliance in the car and, you know, moseyed on into an auto parts store and proceeded to, you know, make arrangements to fix the problem. But had I not done that, I'd have had a very, very bad scene. So needless to say, I was very, very pleased that I had that. You could also open up the strip and set it for low voltage, too, but you know, I don't know if I want to hear that thing chirping at me all the time on voltage peaks or something like that. Especially on a battery supply. But anyway, that's pretty much what I have to say about it. But the rig runners rock, I will say that. Anybody else have comments about power poles or rig runners?
To CAI again. Soldering isn't good enough for connecting the wires to the power pole connectors?
And the portion of strips count for you.
Yeah, okay, Tom, I did get what you said. You still, you may solder them, that's not a problem. The trouble is you must crimp them at some level because otherwise it won't fit in the back of the shell.
You know, I usually use like 12 gauge wire, sometimes 14, and just solder it right in.
Okay, you're using the 15 and 30s?
Using the 30 amps, in 30 amp contacts.
You know, as I said, the contacts are all the same, 15 through 45 amp. The back end is different. Yeah, okay. Well, if you're using 30s, they're already shaped like a bullet, so you're absolutely right. You can solder them in, and you don't need the crimp tool. You're absolutely right. One of the other MOs I have is that sometimes I'm putting power pole connectors on things where I don't have AC power. So a lot of my think about scouting, portable operation, things like that, where someone just hands you a device and you look at it and go, do I own this now? And they say, yep. And you whack the cable and immediately you're buzzing it out with a volt, with an ohmmeter as to which is the positive, which is the negative, and you're crimping on power pole connectors. So you're not doing it with a soldering iron. But, for more, routine stuff, yeah, absolutely. 30 amp power pole is probably just great with just solder.
Very encouraging. I've had Molex's burn. I've had amps burn. But I don't know, the design of the power pole convinced me it might not. The self-cleaning aspects. But I guess I lucked out. Jumper cables connected directly to the battery. I go to the front of the vehicle, plug the jumper cables, and don't even have to open the hood. and the alligator clips on the far end.
Oh, now that's pretty cool. 75 amp, is that enough? That's cool. So you had like a piece of number 4 going to each lead from the battery terminal, and then you just come in with a jumper cable that had maybe a pair of Anderson power poles on one side and, you know, what do you call it, Mungo alligator clips on the other?
Yeah, affirmative. And about 40 feet of wire.
Just in case 80 feet of voltage drop wasn't enough.
Well, I look at it, sometimes it's impossible to turn a vehicle around on a Guard State Parkway. So I just pull up behind a vehicle, plug in, and if it works, it works, and it's always worked.
That's pretty cool. I've done something similar with my van. I have a pair of quarter 20 terminals inside of an electrical box that's all fused and such going to the battery. And I have given myself a jump from the back of the vehicle just for that reason. It's a little squirrely getting in there, but we got the one terminal squared away, and then the other terminal we used the chassis. I think we used the rear bumper.
There you go. Now, my only worry about that arrangement was if I ever pissed someone off, they could stick a coat hanger in and burn my vehicle to the ground because it was unfused.
What I want to do, Tom, is normally run around with a fuse in it and then have a, in your glove box, essentially a plug-in fuse, you know, link that basically provides the bridging.
Start a relay between the power pole in the car and the battery, so that it had to have a power pole plugged in to power the relay to provide the voltage.
Go ahead, Daniel. Of your car, and that you'll know where to grab it on your way out to the car to go scrape the snow and ice off. The other thing is, make sure you allow extra time to get stuff done, including driving, but not only driving, but even the preparation. If you're, let's say, Sunday morning you go to church or something, you're going to go to the newspaper store, leave yourself extra time to go do that. What else? I don't know. Make sure your snowblower is ready to rock and roll. Make sure your batteries are charged. And make sure that you know what frequencies you're going to go on. 7-0 is where the Skywarn net is. The Racy's net, the Aries net is here. And I think that's about it for now. And I think there'll be a cert net if there is a need for one on 955, although they might jump here too as well. So I think that's pretty much what I know of for this immediate area. Any other stations wishing to make comments this time or check in, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, well, these are the important things of life. And Al, to answer your question, yeah, I think there are going to be a fairly large number of us there a half hour early, if nothing else, to shoot the bull and just say hi. And, you know, because there's so many people who come, and it's hard to get around to everybody, and it's nice when you... when you come a little early just to commiserate and shoot the bull. I think that's a lot of fun. You're more than welcome to.
All my questions.
Okie doke. FYI, for those who want to run Wi-Fi experiments to Bergenfield, hint, hint, Charlie, we should be able to run 10 gigs in about 2 weeks. Not this weekend or the weekend after, the weekend after that. I should be able, I said 10 gigs, I meant 2.4 gigs. I should be able to rock and roll with that. I'll have my mast rotating by then. I got my thrust bearing all squared away. I got my rotator pretty much where I want it to be. I'm going to make the azimuth work first, and then maybe I'll wait to put the big hawk and dish up for the spring. But and that will await for the... that'll wait the drive that I have. I have a C-band drive, which I've acquired and been testing here on with 12 volts. And I wanted to make sure I could run it with 12 volts so that I could point the dish up, as I said, bird bath the dish without any problem on 12 volts should I ever have to do it with low power. I lose AC power. I wouldn't want in a windstorm to have a dish broadside to the wind. That would be very, very bad. So you want to point it straight up so it doesn't have the wind profile. It would be nasty. Alrighty, last call for the net. This is K2BAR. Questions, comments, confusions?
N3CRT.
N3CRT, go ahead.
Has anybody seen like N bulkhead fittings, like connectors, because you see like at Hamfest, you see the for like a PL259, you see the long pass-throughs that'll go through a wall or a piece of plywood, or you know, varying from 3 inches, 6 inches up to I've seen them a foot or so. Has anybody seen anything similar for end connectors?
Geez, you just referenced. They're a real problem. I gotta tell you, at certain frequencies, they just stop. I'm not so sure I'd want to run, a kilowatt amplifier on 20 meters through it. Let's put it that way. I would probably use it on 40 and 80, maybe not a kilowatt. Maybe. We'll see. Certainly not a legal limit. That could be a problem, but these things have substantial impedance bumps in their geometry, and the materials that they're made from is, you know, also a lot of polystyrene and other, shall we say, less than Teflon type plastics.
And that's all I have. N3CRT.
I can make a recommendation, however, doing what I did, or in the process of doing, and that is drill holes in your wall that are big. Run the cable in, and then put the cables on a barrier strip, you know, some sort of plate with with lightning arresters. And you can even do that on the outside if you want, but it's easier to do on the inside for, you don't have to weatherproof the lightning arresters at that point. I mean, I'm not so worried about smoke in the wall. I'm just trying to get rid of some of the static and junk. And if I get direct hit, we're toast anyway, right?
Everybody on the repeater tonight, and maybe me, has like static and noise on their signal. Let me just try this. I'm cranking up to 100 watts now. 100 watts and coming back down to 15 watts here. Does it make a difference? Do you notice anything? Is there an issue with the repeater? Is there an issue with the local interference? Or, you know, maybe we can track down what's going on.
Yeah, it's a repeater. You shouldn't have heard it on my signal tonight, because I've been running 100 watts steadily, and I think the Yagis are, well, actually, the Yagis aren't pointed toward the antenna, toward the repeater. Yeah, they're close. They're reasonably close. But I normally, you know, take my 2-meter array and point it toward the repeater and stick 100 watts until it's done. Tom, go ahead. Watts, 2 meters, 6 inch barrel. Yeah, absolutely. What was the insulation? What was the dielectric?
It looked like polystyrene.
Yep, absolutely. I would think so. I've got one here. In fact, I just was messing with it the other day. I don't remember where I put it. I may have put it away. Away means like not here, which is good. So I can't grab it and wave it in the air, but needless to say, they're interesting. I can. I found one here. I have one in the drawer. Now the one I'm holding does not look like polystyrene. It looks like nylon. Sunday morning into, it's supposed to clear up, allegedly.
An end of the world nor'easter, or what?
I don't know if I'd qualify as that. It's just something mildly unpleasant.
It's the first of the season, so it qualifies. W2R, W4DSA.
Chris Humer and WA2CAI as well. This is W2TDT, your net control for Whiskey for Kilo 2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. Thanking everybody for a wonderful night. We'll see you next week, and we'll see most of you at the dinner. So Godspeed. This is K2BAR. Nets return. The repeaters return to normal amateur use.